Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So happy to have you back with me for another week of reading God's Word, another week of asking, what is God saying and what are we doing about it? Another week together of digging into the scriptures to say, Lord, show me who you are, show me where you are, and show me how to become holy. Show me your desires for me. Show me how you want me to change all of these different things. Show me how I can submit to your word. And if you're with us last week, we talked about Romans chapter 8, kind of this anchoring passage that takes us into what has Christ done for us? Why is there no condemnation in him? What has he really done for us from the inside out? And we talked about this idea that Jesus has done, the Father has done, what the law weakened by human flesh could not do. And so we were really living in and living from this idea that Christ has come and he's transformed us. He's come and through his life, death, and resurrection, he's given us power to walk by the Spirit. And that's what we ended on, this setting your mind on the things of the Spirit, not on the things of the flesh, walking in life and peace, all of these different things. And so today, as we continue on in God's word, I want to go to a passage that's been convicting me, Galatians chapter 5. Again, this is Paul's letter to the Galatians, to the church of the Galatians, and it picks up really on this whole thing that we're talking about, walking and living by the Spirit. And so you have these things that are building on each other, that if you were with us last week, or if you read any of Paul's writings or what we've been talking about, Jesus does something in us through his power. He does something supernatural in us through his life and his death and his resurrection, and it launches us into this new way of life. And now there's some instructions on how we are to live. And so this idea of now living by the Spirit, walking by the Spirit, setting our minds on the Spirit, not setting our minds on the things of the flesh. And we see in the writings of St. Paul, this back and forth, this interplay between the way of the Spirit and the way of the flesh. And so I want to read some of Galatians chapter 5. What we're going to get to eventually is kind of the Paul's famous description of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And actually, how can you tell? You can tell if you're walking by the Spirit, which is very convicting. But I'm going to read some verses ahead of that, and we're just going to see what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. So if you want to open your Bibles, if you have them with you, to Galatians chapter 5, or just remember that that's what we're going to go through, and we're going to pray. So let's pray, and then let's dive into God's Word. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we thank you that no matter where we are in our lives, no matter what we're experiencing, no matter if we're on an emotional roller coaster, no matter if we're having the best day ever, the worst day ever, no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what we bring to the table, that as we read this book, as we read the Bible, it reads us. And that as we read today your word, you examine with total gentleness and love and perfection our hearts. And you show us and you poke on what needs to be poked on, and you reveal what needs to be revealed, and you reveal yourself in a deeper way, and you do what needs to be done in us, that as we approach this word and we look for you, you begin to transform us in the ways that you know that we need. And so we ask with total openness that no matter how we're bringing our hearts here today, that your word would examine us, that your word would convict us in power, that your word would allow us to come under submission to it. And we ask this all in your most holy name. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to start at the beginning of chapter 5, but I want to give a little bit of background to Galatians chapter 4, where we're coming from. And again, in Galatians, Paul gives a lot of interplay, a lot of background, a lot of information about the law and about circumcision and about the Israelites, because he's speaking to people who have come to belief in Christ who are Jews. and who are believing Christ as Jews, and they're like, okay, now what does this now mean for me? What does this look like for me? All of these different things. And so we've talked about Galatians chapter 4 on this show before, but Galatians chapter 4, Paul is giving this whole analogy about the custodian to the promise, or about the heir. And it's saying, you know, as long as an heir is underage, right, as long as he's a child, he's no better than a slave. He's not the owner of the estate. He's under a guardian that entrusts, that kind of watches him until that date when he can receive the fullness of what God has for him. And he says, this is just like the inheritance with Christ, that the law was actually, remember we talked about the law before, that the law is actually our custodian. It's our guardian in that way, kind of putting guardrails around us, but that it can only take us so far. It can't give us the fullness of what we have from the Father. And so then he says this, he says, when the time had come, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, into the world so that we might receive adoption as sons. And so he's saying there's this new life that you're entering into. There's this new life of faith. There's this inheritance that you're entering into, and God wants you to enter into the fullness of that. So we're going to read, we're going to jump around a little bit in Galatians chapter 5. That's just the background. So let's start with verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. And I'm going to skip forward. He's going to talk about circumcision a little bit, but I'm going to skip forward to verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brethren. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love be servants of one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour another, take heed that you are not consumed by one another. He continues on, but I say, walk by the Spirit and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are plain: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We're going to stop there. There's so much good there. That's so dense. It's so rich. And I can't wait to get into all of those things this week. But I want to start with that first verse. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. There's something there where it's like, okay, that feels redundant. That sounds redundant. That sounds like you're just saying the same thing over and over again. Like, what does that mean? Of course we're set free for freedom. Of course, what do you mean? What else would we be set free from? But it's this reality that Christ didn't free us halfway. It's not like this freedom from external rules, right? We were talking about, it's not a freedom from the law to say, okay, now I have no rules and finally I'm free because I can do whatever I want. But it's a freedom from sin, from fear, from condemnation, from trying to earn God's love. And there's a notice that call, the call that follows freedom, it's a call to stand firm, to not be swayed. That in the Christian sense, in the way for a believer, it's not I'm free to do whatever I want. This is why he's saying for freedom. Paul also says in another place, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom is an interior state in which we are totally subject to God and we have internal liberty. Internal freedom, that we're not bound by the constraints of sin. We're not bound by the constraints of selfishness. We're set free from death all of these different things. We're not bound in ourselves. We're free to be free, to be who God's creating us to be. And freedom, how we know we're free is, am I free to love? Am I free to obey? Because this is to become who I was made to be. And so if Christ has set us free, not so that we can live under the powers of darkness. He set us free. It's not like he's saying, okay, I set you free from sin and death. And I think this is sometimes where that once saved, always saved comes in, where it's like, okay, I'm set free and now I'm kind of can do whatever I want. It doesn't matter because Christ saved me. He changed my destiny. He saved me from eternal death. He saved me from eternal damnation. And now I can kind of do what I want because I know that God loves me still. No, he set us free for freedom. He's saying, I've actually saved you from eternal death. I've canceled the bonds that stand before you. It's like, this is a flawed analogy, but think of someone being set free from prison only to go out and commit the same crimes that they were in prison for originally. And I think a lot of times that's what we do with sin over and over again. It's like, oh, I have grace. Christ set me free. And then I go back and we enter back into those places that bind us. That's not liberty, right? And John Paul II talks about this. He says, freedom is the being able to do what is good. And so Christ is saying, I've canceled the debt against you. I've canceled the legal debt. I've set you free from prison, not so that you can go continue to do those other things without getting caught, so you can become who I've made you to be. So you can stop living under the yoke of sin. You can stop living under the yoke of slavery. You can stop living as you used to live. You don't have to be that person anymore. You don't have to be afraid that you won't be chosen. You don't have to be afraid of death. You don't have to be afraid of failure, because God is saying, I have set you free. I love this. It says, do not submit again to the yoke of slavery, that there's actually a yoke. What's a yoke like? If you think of Jesus saying, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, right? It's this thing that farm animals carry, their yoke that keeps them yoked to each other. He's saying, my yoke, the thing that you carry, the thing that I carry, it's easy and light, but there's a burden. There's a heavy burden. There's a heavy yoke hanging over the neck of the human race. And it's a yoke of slavery. It's a yoke of bondage. And we're going to see this tomorrow, but he's saying, stand firm, because just because I've set you free and grace is at work in your life, there's going to be temptations to go back to this other place. There's going to be temptations to live under the slavery that you know. Like, think about the Israelites, and I want to start with this tomorrow, but take this image. Think about the Israelites. They go through the Red Sea. They're set free from the Egyptians, and they go through the Red Sea, and then they're like, wait, wasn't it kind of better that we were slaves? Because now we're just walking around the desert, and there we had food, and there we had, you know, meat, and there we at least had, we knew what we were getting. You know, the devil that you know is better than the devil that you don't know, type of thing. And that's sometimes what we're like with our lives. And Zaris is saying, for freedom, like the Israelites, you're free. So I want you to think of that image as we enter into tomorrow. God bless.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.